remain standing and take your Bibles. We're going to, we'll be mainly going through Leviticus here, but we're going to do something a little bit different this morning and go a route I believe God would have us to go. And in fact, bear with me here just one second. Let me get situated here. Take your Bible, brethren, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll have you read a couple of passages here and then we'll get... 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Go to 1 Thessalonians 1. Notice that Paul says that the preaching of the cross is the power of God. It's the power of God. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Notice again, Paul speaks of the gospel coming not only in word, but in power. And then finally, 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13. Oh, verse 1, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. And, brethren, I'm sorry. Hang on just one minute. I said 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. And I don't know if that's exactly where I wanted to go. Hang on just a minute. Man. Go to, tell you what. Nope, that's not where I went to go, but that's fine. But we'll stop right there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this. Father, even though, Lord, the other scripture I was going to look at, Lord, is not what I had down here, but Father, Lord, the first two we looked at do convey, Lord, what I want us to look at this morning. And I believe what you put on my heart. Father, help us. Lord, help us to be obedient to you. Lord, help us to have open hearts and open ears. We ask these things according to thy word in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Sarah, if you would give me some water, honey. Y'all can be seated. Brethren, I want to ask you something this morning. It'll be kind of unusual what we're going to look at in a way, but again, not. I've probably alluded to it at different times through the years, but I want to ask you a question this morning. And the question is this. I guess it's the title of what we're going to preach in. Is the power on in your house? Is the power on in your house? Now, for the most part, if I would ask that question, you know what I would be referring to. Would be, do you have power on? Do you have lights on? I mean, you're going home, does things work? Is the electric bill paid? Or something happened? Is the power on? Is the lights on? The refrigerator running? Toaster going? I mean, there's power on. Alright? That's what we most time think of that. But I want us to think of that in light of that in a spiritual sense. Is the power on in your house? Now, the Bible, Paul said, it made plain that his preaching and teaching was a demonstration of the Spirit and power. The gospel, he said, came to them in power. He said that the preaching of the cross is the power of God in salvation. It's power. Not just word, but power. Produces a change. Something to it. A change, not just word, but power that produces a changed life. Now, brother, listen. God has set up these principles all over the place. Power comes to your home initially. Power comes from a power source. This does. Whether it's TVA in Tennessee or Santee Cooper, where they made them lakes and dammed up those rivers and powers those turbines, there's some source that power is coming from. And brethren, the power source spiritually is God the Father. Now that power comes from a power source. It can be those turbines there at Santee Cooper that the water's taking and turning around and producing that power. But it comes from a power source and then it's brought to your home by way of a crossed power pole. Now it is. There's something to that. It's amazing, man. You can't get away from the principles of salvation. From that power source, it leaves there, and to your home, it comes on a pole. And it's a crossed pole. And it'll have two little uprights on it that look like arms hanging on it. That's a fact. And when you go down the road, I'm telling you, what a shock it's going to be to folks someday when they realize that they were down the road every day, choo, 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 and there was examples of it right in front of them all the time. Boom, 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 boom. Right there, God screaming out to them, "You want power? Here it is. You want power? Here it is. You want power? Here it is." The preaching of the cross, it's the power of God unto salvation. Preaching of the cross, there it is. Preaching of the cross is what? Power. The preaching of the cross is power. Lamont, there's a cross pole that's got power on it. Come on, brother. Come on, there it is. So it comes from a power source, the Father. It's brought to your home by way of a cross power pole, that's Christ. And the cross. And then it's made effectual by power that you can't see but can see the results of. What are you talking about? Well, it leaves that pole, comes in your house, and you never see that power. You see the results of it. You never see it. You never see it, but you see the results of it. Once that power's on, lights come on. You can see. Refrigerator runs. Toaster runs, whatever, man. You got power and things run now. Things work. Things work now. It's a picture of the Holy Ghost. Now, brethren, some folks have everything set up, but the power isn't on. Nothing works. The marriage ain't working. The home ain't working. The things, it just, nothing's working. So church don't work for me. Things ain't working. It looks good. Everything's set up. But there's a problem. Things aren't working. It looks like it ought to, but the power is not on. Oh, it looks good. There's a pole. There's a line. But upon further notice, you'll find there's no connection, no meter at the box. See, that meter makes that connection. That meter makes that connection. You pull that meter, there's no connection there. Without that meter, then there's just an open place. And that open, there's no, you got power coming there, and everything's hooked up there, but there's no meeting place there. And you get that meter in, you get a connection. You see, brethren, you know what that meter does? That meter gives account of the power you use. That meter gives account of the power you use. Go to Romans 8. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 6. Romans 8 verse 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither it can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Now see, that carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. And it can't be. Brethren, you get saved, you get born of the Spirit of God. You are now, listen, you've tapped into that power. You are now subject to the things of God. Go to Romans 14. Romans 14. I want you to see this. Romans 14. Verse 12. Now what did I say that meter does? It gives account of the power you use. Romans 14 verse 12. "So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God." You know what happens, brethren, when you get saved? 2,000 years ago, brethren, everything fell in motion. Everything was accomplished to get power to you. The work was accomplished on the cross. And you got power, you got connection coming from that pole, from the power source over there in turbines, to that pole, and then to the pole out there in the road, then to you individually where you're at. And you got lines coming from the house, and everything's ready, but you got to make that connection. And choo, once you do, put that meter in, tick, tick, there's an accounting that starts taking place. Once you get saved, there's an account, there's an accounting that gets starts from that moment on of the, well, might as well say, take the thing all the way through, of the amount of power that you use. But look here, what I'm saying is, brethren, what you're getting rewarded for is how you let the Holy Ghost work in your life. Wood, hay, stubble, that's works of the flesh. But brethren, that gold, silver, precious stone, that's how you let the Holy Ghost work in your life. And from the time that you got the Holy Ghost, from the time that meter got put in, man, from the time you got the Holy Ghost, the time you got saved, there's been an account. But sometimes in your home, you use more power than you do with others. But there's an account of it. Then you and I need to walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, do what we do under the power of the Spirit of God. There's an account of that thing going on. Of how much we make use of and how much we don't make use of. Take your Bible, go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. It's walking in the Spirit, brethren. It's walking in the Spirit. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Watch this. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort of they which creep into houses and lead captive sinning women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness but denying what? The power thereof. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In other words, brethren, everything looks good. Everything looks good. There's power to the pole. There's wire from the pole to the house. But yet there's been no connection yet at the pole. Having a form of godliness, but denying what? The power thereof. And Ben, how many? I want you to be honest with yourself this morning. You that are here, you that are listening on a CD, I want you to pay attention and listen. Listen, so often it's just like that. You drive by, somebody drives by and just looks like a house, you know, mobile home, whatever, you know. I mean, there's a connection, there's power to the pole, and there's wires coming up from it, all right? But there's no power there. Why? There's no meter there yet hooking that thing up to complete the connection. You know why there's no meter there yet? Because you got to make payment. You've got to make payment. Once you go to the power company and make payment, they come out, they put that meter in, you're in business, brethren. You said, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling this is what you need. He said, well, Brother Dawson, I don't have no money to pay my power bill. I don't have no money to pay the initial payment to get it started. Okay, there you go. No problem. You just take Christ's payment to the Father, and He will establish the connection.
Amen.
Don't you see? Let's suppose you get out there, you know, and you look and you're like, you got your power to the meter, and you got power from the out there on the line on the pole to it, you know, and you're like, but you're like, I ain't got no money. I got everything set up, but I ain't got no money. And somebody says, look here, I'll give you the money for the payment. I'll pay it for you. You just take it. Look, I'll just give it. Here it is, man. You go take care of it. I'll give you the money for the payment, but you better go take care of it. You just go down there, and I'm not going to do it for you. But you go down there and face them, and you give them this, and they'll come out there and they'll get things connected. No, brethren, you don't have payment. You don't have payment. Christ does. He made the payment with His blood. And you know what He tells you? He just tells you to go to the Father. Go to the Father and say, I don't have payment of my own, but Your Son made payment for me. He made payment for me with His blood. And I've got a receipt here. I got a receipt here from Him, the Word of God, that says that. And so I'm accepting that payment He made. And you know what you do when you take that to the Father? You know what He'll do? He'll establish that connection. Boom. He'll hook you up, bud. He'll hook you up with salvation. He'll birth you into His kingdom. He'll give you the power of the Holy Ghost. He'll make you a new creature. And you know what? Boom! The lights come on. All of a sudden, you read that book and you understand it.
Amen.
You see things in a different light. Things start working, man. The family works. The marriage works. There, your job. I'm telling you, things work now because the power's on. See, you don't have the payment. Christ made the payment. Here's the receipt. Here's the record. Take it to Him. Take it, man. Take that book and say, Father, Your Word says Your Son. I've got a receipt here. He made the payment. And I'm trusting that. I'm trusting that payment Your Son made. His blood paid for my sin. I believe that. Father, here's the receipt of that. Here's what Your Word says, and I accept that. And you want, He'll establish a connection. Let me tell you something. Don't try to bypass the meter. You'll die. Don't try to bypass that meter. Somebody's going to get hurt. You know what? When Brother Tom was down here, what had happened was about back in the summertime, my landlord had done a very nice thing. We went at the house, but he'd done a very nice thing. He had brought in a load of dirt to kind of smooth our driveway out. Just did it on his own, just to do it. But the fella come in with the truck. Luke was there. I wasn't there. Luke saw it getting ready to happen and tried to get out there to yell, but it was too late. He hit the power pole. And we didn't have power. I come home like, what is going on? And it bent the pole. Well, they fixed it, but what happened was it took it about 6 months. But back in the wintertime, all of a sudden, we had power in part of the house and we didn't in the other part of the house. And then a couple of minutes later, we come back on. And a couple of minutes go out and come back on. Well, I called Brother Tom, but Tom Brownman was down. I knew he knew a lot about that stuff. And he come in and he pegged it right off. And sure enough, when that pole had bent, it caused a little connection to start. And finally, it was just about ready to go. Well, Brother Tom was, he saw what was going on, but he said, but brother, he said, I can go this far with it. He said, but, you know, what happened was the power company came in and they worked on that and they took care of it. They took care of everything. But you know, what I'm saying is, but when they had that meter out of there, we're looking, you know, and the lines from my house to the pole, we could have grabbed and played with them. But they were saying, and you know what? They looked like the same lines from the outside pole to the thing. Looked just the same. Man, you touched them, it's all over. You touched them, it was all over. And you know what, brethren? I could have tried and said, well, this is easy. I'll just hook a wire here and hook a wire. Stop. Dead? With that dead preacher? I'm telling you what, it would have been all over. That meter, though, was able to make a safe connection. I'm saying this, brethren, don't drive bypass the meter, you'll die. You see, listen, the power that saves can also destroy. Do you know that? That same power that saves can also destroy. Jesus Christ can either, listen, be your Savior or your judge. He can either deliver you or crush you. No, I'm serious. Same power. He can either save or He can destroy. Go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. You either going to face Him as Savior or judge. Now, you better meet Him now as Savior if you never have. Matthew 21, verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone, He's talking about Himself, shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Savior, judge. Bow the knee to Him this side of the grave and reap the benefit of salvation. Bow to Him the other side of the grave and you'll just be paying homage to supreme authority. And then it's off to the lake of fire with you. Now, your choice. You will bow the knee and confess Him. But it's better you do it this side of the grave voluntarily than do it the other side of the grave because you have to just to acknowledge His authority. Look here, brethren. Everything can look good. But yet, no power. The lights aren't on. You know, some brethren, you hear me out. You can fake it in the daytime. But at night it shows up. You say, why would somebody fake it? I have known of people who are embarrassed. They couldn't pay their power bill. And you would not believe the extremes people go to make it pretend like they have power and they don't. What, Brother Dawson? I know of situations where people have had no power and yet they will take and have people over and use candles and say, we just want to make it a romantic evening for everybody. They'll still have company over. They'll still do things. They don't want it to be known they don't have power. It's the same kind of lengths people will go to who don't have the power of salvation, who don't have the power of the Holy Ghost, who are not born again, but will do everything they can to present forth an outward appearance of, I've got power.
That's good. Real good.
Now, that sounds crazy, you know, that people would take, but I know personally. Of folks who were embarrassed because they didn't have no power and then the money to cut the power on, and they would even ask company over. They would get like a little hot plate or something like that, or stern over something like that. They'd get something or make sandwiches or do something and work it, go to, I mean, lengths and pains and have candles and say, we're making it a fun candle night or something, just to give the appearance that everything's okay, but the power ain't on. Now, you can fake it fairly good in the daytime, but not at night. Brethren, and sadly, many people today, the power ain't on. There's been no connection made. The Holy Ghost is not there. They've not experienced the new birth. They've not been made new creatures. The lights aren't on. But yet, because of pride, they don't want people to know they don't have power. And so they go to unbelievable lengths to present a facade, an outward show of, I've got power. But they don't. You can fake it in the good times, but it's in the nighttime, or times of heat, or times of extreme cold, that it shows up. When you can't turn the lights on, you can't get hot water, or you can't get cold water. The secret will be out. You see, brother, look here. From the road, you can't tell it. But the family and close relationships know something isn't right. You say, what do you mean, Brother Doss, about you can tell it, you can fake it in the daytime but not in the night? Adversity will bring it out. You can fake it pretty good in the daytime, but in the nighttime, when adversity comes, if you ain't got power, it's going to be known. Because when adversity, trouble, extremes, it's too hot, it's too cold, you ain't going to fake it then. People are going to know you ain't got power. Because at nighttime, your lights won't be on. Your lights won't be on. And somebody will tell that candlelight every night, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Candlelight, why, that's what they used to use in the old days. Why don't you got power? That's what we got today. It's kind of like folks who take and they're stuck in like legalism or the law, not accepting what Christ has done. And to get power. Or, brethren, look here. I said the nighttime, adversity. Brethren, things will bring it out. You know, look, you can't fake it, brethren. When it's hot, when it's 90 some degrees, and people are sweating it out, you know something's wrong. Either the air conditioning's broke, or they ain't got no power. Or everybody's piling the stuff on in the wintertime. It's okay to be frugal, but I'm talking about when the blankets are real thick, and they're still chattering, the power ain't on. I'm telling you, you can fake it in good times. Kinda. But when adversity and bad times comes, it's going to be known you ain't got no power. And I'll tell you who's going to really know it. Those close to you. Those living under the same roof with you. They're going to know the power bill ain't been paid. We ain't got a connection. Daddy ain't paid the bill. I can tell it. I know it. I can tell Daddy ain't paid the bill because something's wrong around here. You understand me, brethren? You understand me? Listen, listen, listen. Take real quick. Go to 2 Timothy 3. Is power on at your house? Is power on at your house? Now I realize what it was. Now I realize why I did go to a while ago. Remember why I started reading a while ago? Why did I go to 2 Corinthians? Now I remember. Because it was talking about our earthly house. Our house. And one of the points I was making on, remember the opening, now I realize why I went there. Is the power at your house? Well, you know what the Bible refers to as this body? Our earthly tabernacle, our house. Is power in your house? I ain't talking about where you live at, where you're going to go to in your car a little bit. I'm talking about where you're sitting right now. Is a power. You got power in here? Have you got the power of the Lord abiding within? Have you got the new birth? Do you have the Holy Ghost abiding within? Is the power all in your house? Have you been born again? Look here, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, verse 4. Thank you, Lord. Now I remember why I went there. 2 Timothy 3, verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. With that verse in mind, go to 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 10. Notice, lovers of pleasure is more than lovers of God. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God says the reason men are damned is because they won't receive the truth. And the reason they don't receive the truth is because they have pleasure in unrighteousness. They love their sin more than they love the God who gave Himself for them. Let me ask you, you hear? Folks, I love you. Love you. I ain't one of these people that tries to make people doubt. But my goodness, heaven and hell are too real to play around with these matters. Those of you here, those of you listening on tape, let me ask you something. Did you cry out to God not to be saved from sin, but to be saved from a bad situation? See, if the power ain't, if you ain't ever made the connection, or everything looks good. I mean, there's power coming from, there's power, I mean, there's wires coming from, there's wires coming to, but there's no connection. A lot of people, brethren, everything looks good. They go to church, they try to live outwardly clean, everything's in order, it just looks right. But those who get close to Him know something missing. The power ain't on. You know what? My precious wife there, when we were dating one another, I'm telling you, brethren, it looked good. She looked like she had power. She would read her Bible, faithful in church, a good student, outwardly, I'm telling you. Brethren, if you looked at me, honestly, I was just a jughead, man. I just was pathetic. But I want to tell you something. I had power and she didn't. And you know what? I can remember writing to her. I could tell something. The power wasn't on. It looked right. Outwardly, you couldn't argue with anything. It's like, but I was like, duh, something. And we'd write letters about it. And we'd talk about it. Glory to God. Thank God for His mercy. About 3 months after we got married, power, she made the connection. Amen. She accepted Christ's payment, made connection, and the lights came on. And she could tell an inward difference. She could tell an inward difference. Power came on. I'm going to tell you now, look here. You go to church, you do all the outward things, but is the power on? Can you get that book does God communicate with you through that book, and you got a personal relationship, a walk with Him? You know Him, He knows you, and the connection made. Is the power on? Family will know. Because they can tell something right. I could tell something wasn't right. But what, you know, I could do, I pray, you know, I could just pray and know. But thank be to God. God took care of it. Look here. Why is it? Why are men damned? Well, it's because they love their sin more than they love God. Oh, they're willing to make a profession. People don't want to go to hell, but they don't want to quit their sinning. That's the problem. Jesus Christ is not your fire escape. That's just a fringe benefit. He is your way to be reconciled to God and be established into a relationship with your Creator. And one of the fringe benefits is you don't have to go to hell. But it's getting to God. And you want to get to God because you're tired of yourself and sin. Look here. Nesha, did you cry out to God not to be saved from sin, but to be saved from a bad situation? A lot of people do that. A lot of people cry out to God, they shed tears. It's not that they want to be saved from sin. It's not that they want to know God. It's not that they want to be His. It's, I'm in a mess. I'm going to be in this mess. God, get me out of it.
Right.
Your jailhouse religion, that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Take your Bible. Go to 2 Corinthians 7. God ain't your genie that you rub and He does just to do for you, you know, I need some help now just so you can have the kind of life you want to have. No! It's surrender. It's a place of time. It's a thing of surrender that you yield to the One who created you, created all things and gave you life and loves you enough to give His Son for it, that you yield to Him and become lock, stock, and barrel His. Well, the Bible says when you're saved, you're not your own. You bought with a price. For His. Look here, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us and nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. In other words, you get saved, you'll never be sorry you did, amen. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. There's two kinds of sorrows. There's one sorrow that says, I'm sorry because I got caught, I'm sorry I'm in the mess I'm in. There's another sorrow that says, I deserve to be caught. I ain't worried about that. God, I'm sorry because I've offended you. And Lord, my life is against you, and I don't know you. And God, that's what I'm sorry about. I'm sorry that I've lived the way I've lived. I'm sorry for going my own way. God, I'm sorry toward you. Lord, the mess I'm in, that don't matter. I caused my mess. I deserve the punishment I'm getting. Lord, I'm not worried about that. I'm sorry that I've offended you, Lord. That's the kind of sorrow that's the kind of repentance that brings, that's godly sorrow that works salvation. The other sorrow, it's sorrow, but it worketh death. It's a sorrow that says, yeah, I'm sorry because I'm in a mess. Things didn't fall out like I wanted to fall out. My life's falling apart. Yeah, you're sorry about that. It's the wrong kind of sorrow. It's not a sorrow that your life's falling apart. It's a sorrow that you have offended, lived against, and contrary to the holy God who gave you life and gave His Son for you. Godly sorrow. Worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. The sorrow of the world worketh death. Did you want to be reconciled to God? Did you want to be right with God? Did you want to know Him? If you've made a connection, if you're saved, the power is on. The power is on. But I want to now turn the thing and go another route now. If you're saved, if you've established a connection, let me ask you this. Have you lost power? Not salvation. I'm not talking about losing salvation. It's not losing power. And I'm going to look at some things that can cause you to lose power. Now, the first thing is, you better make sure that you've established the connection, man. You better make sure you got an account with the company, amen. You better make sure you got an account with the power company. When I got saved, I got an account with God the Father, amen. And for good, bad, or whatever, an account's being kept of what I've done for God since I've been saved. Good, bad, whatever. Glory to God, I've got one. Amen. I've got an account with heaven through Jesus Christ. You better make sure you got an account. You better make sure you got an account. Now, sometimes you can have an account, but you lose power. And I'm talking right now about people that are saved, but you've lost power in your life. You lost power. What causes it? Well, one of the things that causes it is very simple, is a break in the line. There's an open somewhere. Let me ask you, has there been a break in your, has there been a break in the line? A break in your fellowship? Has there been a break in your prayer life? A break in your Bible reading? A break in your church attendance? You've lost power. Now, like I said, you better make sure you've ever had it to start with. You better make sure there's an account. But it's not an old account settled. You better make sure there's an account. I got an account over at Berkeley. Alright? I got an account. I can lose power if I don't. I can lose. But I got an account, amen. I got an account over there. I got an account in heaven through faith in Jesus Christ. I got an account established with the Father through His Son. But brethren, I can lose power if I ain't careful. Get an open there. Get a break, you know. Has there been an open, a break in your Bible reading? Has there been an open, a break in your prayer life? Has there been an open and a break in your church attendance? Has there been an open somewhere? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. You ain't got to tell me. I'll tell you. Then you've lost power. I'll tell you, you ain't got to tell me. If I come in and see there's a broken line there from the pole to your house, you ain't got to tell me, I'll tell you. You ain't got no power. I know that. But if there's been a break in your Bible reading, I'll tell you, you ain't got to tell me, you lost your power. Breaking your prayer, breaking church attendance, you've lost your power. I don't know, I'm not saying there has been. I'm saying, I'll just tell you this, if there's been a break in these things, you're going to lose power. And you need to get that thing mended. Look here. There can also be a short. A short. Let me ask you something. You know, I don't understand all that stuff. But evidently, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, a short is something that gets in the way and runs to the ground and takes, you know. Well, let me ask you something. Has something gotten in the way? A job? A hobby? A habit? A relationship? Relationship's fine, but it shouldn't get in the way of you and the Lord. You young'uns here, I mean, amen, that's fine. God brings somebody your path, that's fine. As long as they're right, that's good. But that relationship better not get in between you and the Lord. You will lose power. Hey, man, if you're in a relationship, you need power. Got a habit, got a hobby. That maybe ain't wrong in and of itself. But you've let it become, you've let it get to a degree, you put so much emphasis on it, it shorted you out. I mean, you know what? Look here, let's suppose a fella, I don't know. That's, we like to around here. We like to get around here. We like to play volleyball, have fellowship. That's great. That's fun. Ain't one thing we're wrong with that. That's good. But let's suppose somebody got so into it, next thing you know, they're going out here and joining volleyball teams out here with, you know, just lost people. Don't matter, just anybody. Now they're going to tournaments and missing church. You know what? It's not that volleyball's wrong, but you know what? You put such an emphasis on it, shorted you out. It's drawing off energy and power. It's drawing all that off and shorted you out. You've lost power. I don't know. I'm just telling you, look, could there be something? A job, a hobby, a habit, a relationship? You know, hey, I'll throw something out here. And now, Eve, I know how you get sometimes. You like to think it's too serious, but you better not now. You know, Eve, I'm tickled to death. I've encouraged you about those cakes. Hey, that's a blessing. I'm tickled to death. That's a help to the church. Hey, that's a blessing. But you know what? Now, let's suppose Eve got ching, ching. them eyeballs turned to money signs. And I'm not saying it would be nothing wrong. You made a little dollar. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But next thing you know, Eve going to all kind of cake decorating seminars, right? She went up to Charlotte. You know what I'm saying? She went up to Charlotte, Southern Living or something like that, you know, or something in Cosmo. They got these cake decorating things, you know. And he, well, I'm just trying to get a little, you know. Next thing you know, all night's on the computer learning the latest thing. Sean, I need this new tip. I'm telling you, I got to have this new tip. You know, I got to have this new kind of thing. And next thing you know, she's running. I mean, hey! Short out. I know I have a little fun with that thing. But you know what? That's how easy something can happen. It'll short you out. I mean, tell you what else will cause you to lose power. Blowing a fuse. Seriously. You blow a fuse, you're going to lose power. Brethren, you know what happens. And you know the phrase, he blew a fuse, he popped a fuse. He popped a breaker. Brethren, when you take on too much activity, when you get overloaded, ain't that what causes a fuse to blow? When you get overloaded, take on too much activity, or when you get too hot over a matter, you're going to blow a fuse and you're out of power. Amen, brethren. Oh, brethren, there's so much. You guys that know some stuff, you'll be able to glean more than I'm gleaning from it. Because, brethren, everything has something spiritual to it. I'm going to tell you that right now. It does. But, man, this thing about power and stuff. I mean, think about it. You get too much connected up there, too much. Bah! There goes that circuit breaker. Everything's down. It's just too much. It's just too much. Sometimes you can take on too much. Sometimes you can take on too much in church things. Oh, I know, preachers. No. You're supposed to make... get out of here, man. I could have you busy here doing everything I call things in the world, but that don't mean it's what God wants you to do. You find out, it's not just activity, it's finding out what God wants you to do. And the Lord won't overload you. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we'll overload ourselves because we won't afraid, think everybody thinks we're not doing anything. Or no. Look here. Be careful because you overload yourself and you'll pop a fuse, buddy. You'll get mad. You'll get upset. I can't take it no more. I'm tired. And boy, you. Amen. Or you'll just get hot over a matter. You handle it wrong. You blow a fuse. You lose your power. What does the Bible talk about? You know, about your prayers being hindered, fellas? You know? I mean, you can get it back. You can reestablish the connection. But I'll tell you this now. Just resetting the thing. You better find out what caused it. Resetting it may work sometimes, but there may be something that keeps popping. I mean, if you keep popping that thing every day, well, you need to look at some things, see what's going on. And be honest with you, one of the most simplest ones... If there's no power, if you're saved, if you've got an account, if you've established a connection, one of the most simplest one is you won't cut the power on. You won't cut it on. It costs money. My grandma had helped my mom and daddy out. My grandma worked some, you know, and she'd help mom and daddy out with the power bill. Man. Cut that light off! I'll pay that bill! Jonathan North, cut that light off! It does cost, I mean. Yeah. But you know what, brother? Look here. Are you cutting the power? Listen, if there's no power in the house, could it be that you didn't cut it on? What are you saying, Brother Doss? I'm saying, are you perhaps not availing yourself of the power that is available to you? But if you're born again, you have the power of the Spirit of God abiding within you. We say, well, how do I not avail myself of it? Unbelief. Go to Matthew 15. Or Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Just not believing the Lord. Oh, you know what? Sometimes the unbelief is, you know what you need to do, but you won't do it. Because you don't think that God will come through. Unbelief. Lack of faith. You know what you need to do, but you're afraid to do it, so you handle it your way because you just don't think God will come through. You're not availing yourself of the power that abides within you. Matthew 13, verse 58. And he did not many mighty works there. How come? Because of their unbelief. Their unbelief limited the power that he showed there and the mighty works that could have been done. Their unbelief. Let's take your Bible, go to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 19. There was a devil there that the disciples couldn't cast out. Matthew 17, 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Now, don't take that. He said, "See, brothers, how small our faith must be. If we only had faith that small." That's not what he's talking about. Faith is a grain of mustard seed is this, brother. This is really what I believe. A mustard seed is extremely small. But you know what that mustard seed does? The faith of a mustard seed. The mustard seed does not go and say, "Look how little I am. I could never be anything big." No, it becomes something big. You ever seen those sequoias or redwoods out there? Those seeds are tiny and produce those great big trees. Brethren, what I'm saying is, the kind of faith that a mustard seed has is this. It's that instead of you looking around and saying, me, I can't move mountains. I can't do this. I'm not that spiritual. I'm not that. Instead of considering you, consider your God. Do you understand me? Instead of considering the puniness of you and I, consider the greatness of your God, if He is your God. Do you understand me? Brother, mustard seed faith is not so much, "Oh, if I could just have that much." No, it's not talking about that. Brother, what I believe is the Lord saying, look, that mustard seed doesn't consider how small it is. It just goes ahead and grows and is what it is. Brethren, don't consider how insignificant or small you feel or your slackness. Don't consider those things. If you're saved, consider the great God who abides within you. And the promises He's given you that are just, those promises apply to you just like they did to Paul. The Apostle Paul had no more right to a promise than you have. If you're a child of God. Unbelief, brethren, will cause the power to be cut off. When that Bible gives you something, lay hold on it. Maybe at work there's a stand you need to take, something you need to do, step out in faith, whatever. Do it. Say, "Lord, I'm trusting you on this principle," and go forward. Trust Him. Unbelief, lack of faith, will cause the power to go out. Look here. I started out asking you this, and I'm going to close up asking you this. Is the power on at your house? Is the power on at your... And I'm not talking about... I'm talking about the body you live in. Is the power on? Does Jesus Christ abide within? Does the Holy Ghost live within you? Have you tasted the power of God? Have you been born again? Listen, have you made connection with God the Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted the payment He's made? Has there been a connection? Has that meter been put in? An account established? And now an account being taken of how much use of that power you're making? Do you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Know that. Be sure of that. If you do, is the power on at your house? You know where you and your family are? Or is there open there? No Bible reading, no prayer. Something's got in the way. A short out. Something's got in the way. You know, a habit, a hot, whatever, you know. Maybe you're blowing a fuse. Maybe you're just not availing yourself of it, not turning the power on. Whatever. Is the power on at your house? If it isn't, don't get down about it, but take measures to either get the account established to start with, or if it is, take measures to get that power back on. It's needed today. Folks need to see the power of God in our lives. Paul said that his preaching and teaching wasn't just in word, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. And that's what men need to see. If you're here listening on tape, be careful that you're not trying to put up a show and pretend that the power's on when it's not. You can't keep that show up. Others are going to know, and it's going to be manifest. You know why you would do that? Because of pride.
when you need to just say, I don't have the money, I can't pay the bill. And then be willing to humble yourself and accept the payment Christ made for you. Get the power on and then go on in the fullness of His power. And if you've let yourself get shorted out, do whatever needs to be done to get it back on. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this time. Lord, I know these are right principles. I apologize for any fumbling attempts to get these things across. But Lord, work in spite of me. And Lord, help us to glean these truths this morning and know where we're at and where we need to be. Lord, and know where it is with us concerning Your power in our lives. Have Your way and will, Father. I pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I want to have her play. When she comes and plays, wherever you are, wherever God has met you at this morning, you meet with Him there and take care of things accordingly. Power in the blood. Yes, indeed. Power in the blood. Sin stains are lost and it's life-giving flow. Have you ever accepted Christ's payment on your behalf? If you haven't, do so without delay. Get that heavenly account established this morning. If you have, keep the connection going. Don't let anything get in the way. An open, a short, a blown fuse, or just not turning it on. Christ will meet you where you're at if you'll meet Him. Is power on at your house? Power on at your house? You can't continue to fake it. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. There is power. Power. Wonder working power. In the blood of the Lamb. When the lights come, when the power's on, things work, man. The marriage works, the home works, job works, church works, things work when the power's on. Would you live daily as praises to sing? There's power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's time. There's wonderful power in the blood. Wonder-working power. Avail yourself of it. Avail yourself of it. Amen, brother. Amen. Appreciate your faithful listening this morning. Thank you so much. Well, folks, look here. Those you hear, those listen on tape. Lord really put this thing on my heart. I pray you'd be obedient to Him. Pray we all would, wherever we're at. Love you, folks. I'll dismiss you in a minute. Lord willing, we'll have choir at 4. Bible study at 5, preaching at 6. Hope to see you back. Father, thank you, Lord, again for your goodness to us. Lord, I pray if there's any unfinished business, Lord, here, that no one would leave, Lord, without having matters taken care of. Father, this ask according to thy will in Lord Jesus' name. Amen.